Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Ladies Best Life podcast. I hope you're feeling good today and I hope you're ready to learn and listen to some tips around fat loss in 2024. As you know, I've been a personal trainer for 13 years. Fat loss is my bag, helping people to not only get fast results, but also fast results that last. Now, that might seem like something that is unachievable for you because maybe you've done diets so many times and you've got fast results, but they've never lasted. We have the missing ingredient to that process. So if you do want to know more, obviously pop me a message and we can chat about you potentially becoming one of our clients. Now, some tips for fat loss in 2024. I want to give you a few things about what not to do, and then also a few things about to do. Now, remember the advice I'm giving is very generic. It is different for person to person. There may be some things that you may need to ignore and some things that you will want to do that other people potentially couldn't do. And that's absolutely fine. I always find it quite hard to do podcasts in the sense that the way that I teach is so personalized. And I absolutely hate things that put us into, you know, boxes, like we've got to be the same as everybody else. And the schooling system is one of the things that I struggle with the most, especially as I'm experiencing some of my family members going to school and are not fitting in, therefore pretty much being told to fuck off. And that is one of my things that really grinds my gears, fit in or fuck off. And that is not what it's about. So please remember what I'm teaching here today. Personalize it. And if you don't know how to, I'm here. I've got a free Facebook group called Sasha Holly Buys Health and Fitness Group. You can come along and ask questions. So remember, if you're struggling with implementing something or it just doesn't seem realistic to you, that's okay. But there will be a different way that we can navigate around it to make sure that you get the results that you want. So let's start with the first one. Step number one, stay away from diets. Stay away from them. Every diet that you do, Cambridge, there's also things like Slimming World, Weight Watchers, Keto, all of the diets that I've just mentioned and any other diets that are out there, and I think there's something stupid like 92 diets or maybe even more than that potentially across the globe. None of them teach you how to do those things long term. Like the amount of women I speak to who go, oh, I did really good on Slimming World, but then I just got a bit bored and I couldn't stick to what they're asking me to do long term. So I went back to eating how I did before and I've gained all my weight. And that's kind of obvious when you think about it, because the way you ate before got you in the body that you were in pre-Slimming World. So then if you go back to eating that way, it's going to create that body again and probably even kind of more the way that you don't want it to be, because if you've done Slimming World and restricted for quite a long time and you can insert any diet there, you're going to be like a kid in a sweet shop, like, oh my god, pass me all the things I haven't been able to eat. Okay, it's like hitting the red button. So diets are short term, they're short term, and like I just said, if you then go back to doing what you were doing before you went on the diet, you're gonna get the outcomes you had before. The body, the energy levels, the health, all that you had pre going on the diet. So my strongest recommendation to you is stay away from diets this year. And I don't care which one it is. There are so many out there, Juice Plus, Herbalife, they're all temporary. And unless you're going to follow the process all the way through, because I know some of them, although I still disagree with them, are long term. A lot of people don't. They will get to their goal results, their goal weight, and then they'll go, oh, I've achieved it now, therefore I'm going to quit. But then reversibility occurs. So just be mindful. I know how desperate you are. I know how much you want to get to your goal. But don't you want to get there and keep it? The next step is don't play short-term games. Don't implement habits that are only there for short-term. Don't implement habits that you're only wanting to do for a short period of time. Because just like diets, you're going to end up going backwards. Okay, so if you have to stop playing the game, whether it be like, say, in January, run every day challenge, can you really do that long term? I know I couldn't. I don't really know anyone who could do that or would want to. So if you're going to do that for the whole of January, then what happens in February? There's going to be an element of reversibility. So rather than fucking around in all of these short-term things, because, oh, it's fun, and yeah, I'm all for a challenge, But you have to look at the recovery of the challenge. And this is what we're doing. So we're doing a 6-week challenge right now inside Coaching Club. But it's not just about come in, get as lean as fuck and go, and then don't know how to keep those results after. We have a recovery week. Week 7 is all about recovery, making sure that we don't do a massive rebound. So this could be habits like, you know, super simple habits that you think you can do long term, but then you could be in a really quiet period of work right now. So then when work gets busy, you know you're not going to be able to keep that habit the same. So really think about what habits you can manage and maintain long term. Now, just on that, a motto we use inside Coaching Club is consistently good instead of occasionally great. We want you to be consistently good, not occasionally great. And how you can overcome that is actually give yourself a buffer. So for example, maybe January is your quiet month in work. So you can hit 10,000 steps a day. But you know, February, you've got projects ending, you've got blah, 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 all these different things, right? We need a bit of a buffer. So maybe in February, we're going to have 6,000 steps as our target. So we can then say that as a commitment for the year, we're going to be aiming for between 6 and 10,000 steps. That's what consistency looks like. It's not hitting the same dead number every single month or every single day or whatever. You do need to allow yourself and manage your expectations around a little bit of a buffer, a bit of give and take, because consistency is not the same number every single day. And it's the same with your weight. Your set point of weight is not one number. My set point of weight is between 63 and 65 kilograms. I'm currently PMT. I'm going to be towards the heavier end. And I know if I go beyond 65, there could be a few things slipping. So I just need to rein it back in a little bit. And it's about allowing that dance, because that then, it makes it more realistic, because you're never going to be the same weight every single day. And also, as life will go through busier and quieter periods, usually not so much quieter periods, we do need to manage our expectations around our habits, because that is what allows us to play long-term games. So the second point, avoid short-term games. The next one, pretty obvious, but don't starve yourself. In the first masterclass that we did inside the Coaching Club on Thursday, the 4th of January, I asked the ladies kind of what they'd been experiencing on social media. The amount of ladies who'd seen friends doing a 72-hour fast, they called it, to lose the Christmas weight that they put on. There was probably about 5 out of the Coaching Club women who said that they'd seen that on their social media. They're not all, you know, in the same communities. So I wonder how many people across the UK are starving themselves this month. And it's like these fat loss injections. They suppress your hunger hormone. But when you stop doing the injection, like, this is not even looking at how many health risks these injections will bring. Just looking at the standpoint alone of hunger, when you suppress something, your body then wants to bring you back into homeostasis at some point. So it will want to bring that hunger back up, and it will come back with a fucking vengeance. So you really need to be aware of what you're doing and the consequence it will have. And when you're going down the route of starving yourself, there's going to be some ravenous part of you that's going to come back to light the other side of it. So how can we, you know, if you want to do 5-2, okay, again, it's another diet. Can you do it long term? I'm not even going to get into that with you today. But if you want to do some element of fasting, that's fine. If that's right for you. I personally wouldn't. I wouldn't recommend it, but it's up to you. But how can you do it in a way that you're not going to be bitten on the ass the other side of it with your ghrelin, your hunger hormone coming back with a vengeance? And also, how can you do it in a way that is sustainable long term? Starving yourself for 72 hours to remove the Christmas fat, inverted commas, burn the Christmas fat, is not savvy. Would you get your kids to do that? Probably not. So why are you doing it? Usually you'll be doing it out of desperation. You desperately want to lose weight. You feel awful after Christmas because you were knackered before it. You don't really make a life that is super fulfilling for you. So you get to Christmas and you're like, oh my God, indulge in everything, bury my emotions, eat my emotions, drink my emotions. And then you come the other side of it and you feel awful. There is so many different things that we can work on there in that one sentence. And the final point, because I don't want to keep this, like the list of things not to do could be fucking huge, but I don't want this to feel like an attack for you today. I want you to feel like, okay, like there's some logic behind what she's saying. Actually, yeah, I agree with her that fasting is only short term or dieting is only short term. So actually, maybe it's not right for me. The final thing is don't overtrain. Like I said about like the, there's a thing called Red January, run every day. Overtraining when you're already tired or overtraining in general is not good for the body. I see so many people, and I saw this so much when I was a personal trainer at Bannatyne's and I used to teach classes, and I used to do it myself, who would do like two classes a day. You know, lower back was sore, joints just felt quite achy, fucked all the time, so I'd rely on caffeine. And I see so many people do this, and what baffles me even more is I was fucking like mid-20s then. So I could kind of get away with it. But I see women who are 40s, 50s, going through menopause, absolutely knackered, working night shifts. They are doing this. And I'm like, do you not understand the negatives, the repercussions, the consequences that this is going to have? Overtraining is not a badge of honor. It's the same as overworking. Overtraining is not to be celebrated. You are fucking your body up. And if you're already tired and stressed, exercise is stress on the body. So you're literally just boosting up your inflammation, which is such a health red flag. How can you train in a way where it gives you energy? Where you can understand that actually, yeah, I train 3 times a week and I hit my step target every day. And actually I feel good from it. I don't feel tired. I don't need to take caffeine to get myself to work out. How can you do that? And sure, like I actually really enjoy going and doing a spin class. It is one of the fucking worst ways, along with HIIT and stuff, to like boost the inflammation up in your body. But I do it and then make sure the next day is a rest day and I properly bring my kind of like central nervous system back down. I have a calm day. I don't drink caffeine anymore. Maybe have one caffeinated coffee a month. Don't drink alcohol for the same reasons, although that I will have as and when I want to, which isn't very often. But overtraining is not a badge of honor. And depending on what age you're at, it will have more kind of consequences than other ages. The older you are, the more consequences it's going to have. So let's focus on what to do now. Because you might be there going, oh, fucking hell, like that is everything I do. So what am I meant to do? So let's talk about it. Focus on long-term gains. I've talked you through this already. What are you going to be happy to do until you're, for the next 10 years, for example? And instead of thinking about starting a new diet, think about starting and creating a new lifestyle. That's where things get different. Because it takes the pressure off of thinking, fuck, I've got 6 weeks and I've got to change everything. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, blah, 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 blah. Scary. If we go, actually, I'm cultivating a new lifestyle now. And that takes time, because habit stacking takes time. The power of the 1%, as James Clear says about, is what we need to focus on. So we remove the pressure. We have more chance of sustainability and we optimize our health rather than choosing things like diets. Because diets pull you away from focusing on what your body needs to be operating at its best. Eating the rainbow, so loads of fruit and vegetables every single day, loads of diversity. Having plenty of protein, so a serving of protein with every meal and an additional one as a snack. And then healthy fats, adding them in, making sure that you're eating them. They're the three areas that I focus on every single day. So play long games. And if you want a bit of a task to do right now, pause this podcast and I want you to write down, if I was to create a long-term lifestyle game, what would it look like? And just give me like 5 to 10 bullet points. What ones of those are you doing now? Tick them off. What's the next easiest one for you to add in? Focus on that. For like 6 weeks, stack that habit, get it ingrained. So it could be you're already drinking 2 liters of water and you now want to go down the route of getting your 5 a day in. Easiest way to habit stack that is look at what you already eat on a weekly basis and just add in fruit and vegetables to it. So it could be you have spaghetti bolognese and you currently literally don't add any vegetables apart from garlic and onion. Can we add in some mushrooms chopped up finely, some aubergine, some courgette? How can we get some stuff in there more? Maybe even have like a part of the plate, which is just sole vegetables. There are ways to do this. The next point is very similar to the first point, but it's also thinking about long-term serving. So instead of not just only focusing on the habits that you can do long-term, but it's the things that are going to be beneficial to you in years to come. So dieting isn't going to be beneficial to you now. It isn't going to be sustainable long-term, and it isn't going to serve you from a health standpoint long-term. And then also even think about like your relationship with food. Diets generally damage your relationship with food. So as well as thinking in point one, long-term gains, we want to think about long-term serving. So understanding yourself so much more, embedding habits that prioritize your health, forming deeper connections with your family and friends, whatever it could potentially be. What things can you embed right now that you in 10 years time are going to look back and go, I feel so much better because of that. For me, it's looking at alcohol and caffeine. As tempting as it is, because my favourite drink in the whole world is Kia Royale, and I could probably literally just get away with having one of those a month and be happy. But I do sometimes get pulled into drinking a bit more. That isn't serving me long term. And as hard as it is now, I'm trying to be long term serving. But again, giving myself permission if I do fuck up and end up getting drunk like I did on Christmas Day, but then paid for it. So it's about allowing yourself to be human. We all fuck up as humans, but still having that North Star in our vision. And that's okay. Point three, try and address your whole self. So when I was a personal trainer, the thing that kind of frustrated me the most was I was only really helping people with their body. And a lot of the time people only came in to work with me as a personal trainer on their exercise. They would only do exercise when I was there. They wouldn't come into the gym any other time. And I found that really hard because we're not creating a lifestyle which is empowering. We're creating a dependency. So how can you encapsulate the three pillars of the coaching club? Mind, body, life. How can we bring all of those in? So mind could be working on your self-talk. You could speak to yourself like shit. So how can we work on that? When your inner critic pipes up and like, you're useless. Just like, I'm doing the best I can with the tools I have at the time. Mind could also be overwhelm. You could decide to listen to some podcasts around overwhelm and how to deal with it. Life could be boundaries. Do you currently have no time for yourself because you work late and then you've got no boundaries with your family? How can we change one thing that you finish work on time every single day, regardless of what happens? Don't know what is going to be the easiest thing for you to change. That's up to you to decide. But they're just some ideas. And then body could be nutrition. It could be exercise, whatever it could be. And be specific. So with exercise, I'm going to do 3 workouts every single week, no matter what happens. Unless I'm poorly, then I'll allow myself to rest. In nutrition, it could be I'm going to add my 5 a day in. So be whole self-serving. Now, that doesn't mean we now jump on the overwhelm bandwagon, right? And we're now thinking about all these different things we need to do. Think about the lowest hanging fruit. Think about the quickest wins and start with those. Point number 4. Try and include the people in your life. And it doesn't need to be that they're fully on board with you in everything that you're doing. But speak to them, communicate to them. So it could be your children. Your mum is now going to be doing workouts 3 mornings a week. She's going to be in the home gym from 8 till 8:30. Oh, that's probably a bit late for school time, isn't it? 7 to 7:30. You do not interfere with me at that time. And every time they come in, you say, go away. You can go and do your things until 7:30. And then we're going to start getting ready for school. Including the family. And it could also look like every Saturday morning, you chat about what food you'd like to eat throughout the week. And everyone can pick a meal for the menu. Or just like certain ingredients that they want to have this week. So you bring them into the planning a little bit more. Get them included into it. You could have a timetable on the wall where people know where everyone's going to be. But the more you can bring family and friends into your new lifestyle, the easier it's going to be. The worst thing you can do is keep it secret and try and hustle it on your own. Communicate with your partner if you have one. Let them know what you're going to be doing, why you're going to be doing it, and how they can help you. And then also ask them, is there anything that you need my help with right now? You know, I'm doing this for me so I can be better, so I can be a happier partner to you, happier mom if I am a mom, or happier in career, whatever. So what do you think you need right now? And it might be nothing, and that's cool. But just allow it to be that push and pull. Point five, the final one. Realistic expectations. Please do that this year. And like I said earlier with the buffers, you can always allow yourself a between this and that. The set weight that I'm going to be is this and that. The set step target is between this and that. And if, say, for example, you have got a week where work is super busy, like this week for me right now, there's a lot going on. I'm only probably going to do two workouts, maybe three with one at the weekend. But if I'm knackered from a really busy week, I'm not going to add that additional stress to my body. I'm going to take some downtime. Manage those expectations. Also, if you know you're going out with your friends and it's going to be boozy, what can you put in on Sunday or the day after so that you can kind of itch that hangover craving, but also honor yourself with your food? It could be that you have a smoothie that's packed full of veggies, but then you still have your bacon sandwich. Manage those expectations. Also, when it comes to weight loss, you can't expect to always lose 2 pounds a week. You know, especially when it comes to your PMT and your period week, you're probably going to have some inflammation in the body that week, which means that your body will retain water more, and then you won't have lost weight so much. You may lose a bit, you may not, you may gain. So it's managing those expectations. So just to recap the things to do, focus on the long-term gains. Focus on the long-term self-serving gains as well. Focus on the whole self, mind, body, and life. Make sure it's family inclusive and include friends into that as well. And then finally, realistic expectations. So I'd love to know from you, which one of these do you feel is going to be most beneficial for you? Pop me a message on either Instagram or Facebook. Join my free group if you want to, so that you can come in and ask any questions at any time. And the most important thing is remember how awesome you are.